Welcome to Friendly Connection. I'm your host, Chuck Hartman.
Remember, when navigating hard times and uncertain seasons, God keeps all who remain in Christ.
Friendly Connection is an inspirational and encouraging weekly walk through the Word.
You stand on the authority of God's Word and you say to Satan, I am a child of God. I remember the day and the time God saved me.
I pray that today's message will be an encouragement as you live out your faith. Now, let's go to today's message.
Well, you know, I love to tell stories. I love narrative. It helps me connect a lot of times. And I'm reminded of a story that I heard a grown lady share of her childhood. She recalls a time just before Thanksgiving in her childhood when her mom laid down the law to she and her siblings and said, it's not going to be like last Thanksgiving. You children are going to sit here at the children's table and you're not going to annoy the adults. Apparently that rings true for a lot of people here today. So, as good as their word to their mom, they decided they would sit there with the cousins at the children's table and not say a word and annoy the adults like apparently they had done the Thanksgiving before. Well, the daughter recalls seeing out of the corner of her eye one of the unattended candles in the kitchen falling over and catching the curtains on fire. And she thought, now, would it be annoying to my mom if I go into the dining room and tell her that the kitchen's on fire? And she probably sat there a little longer than she should, but the dining room was positioned in such a way that the adults had no idea of the disaster that was taking place in the kitchen. And finally she decided, well, yeah, maybe I should go tell mom what's going on in the kitchen. So she quietly gets up, reverently makes her way into the dining room, waits for the adults to acknowledge her presence, and when they do, she walks over to mom and whispers, the kitchen's on fire. She said the rest of her life, her mom always gave her grief over the Thanksgiving. She chose politeness over sense. But you know, the narrative from Jesus' life that I want to look at today is sort of the reverse of that. It's sort of coming into God's presence with reckless abandon and just praising Him and thanking Him for what He has done. Because in the one individual's life, Thanksgiving truly made the difference. And that account is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. That's what we're going to be looking at today. I'll be reading from the ESV. But if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn there to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, starting at verse 11. It reads like this. And on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered the village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return to give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Let us pray. Father, we're grateful for your word. We're grateful for the narratives from Jesus' life that we can apply to our own lives. And Father, I pray that we will think constructively today about this passage and put ourselves into this place, into this Samaritan's place, that we might be able to identify with just how much of a difference Thanksgiving makes.
Father, thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now remember, we've talked about it in times past, but Luke, of course, is a Gentile writer. I remember a long time ago being in a church, and the pastor's wife was helping the children learn the disciples, and they were going down the disciples' names, and of course Luke pops up, and I'm like, no, Luke is not a disciple. Luke was a Gentile writer. Different theologians say different things about him. Some say he was writing an account for a noble person in Rome. Others say that he was just writing to the friends of God at Rome. A history account of Jesus and of the early church in the book of Acts. However you want to take it, I want you to understand that Luke does just that. He writes to a Roman audience. So sometimes the things that he says, the things that he brings out, are a little different than the other synoptic gospels. One thing is this Gentile writer is preparing us for a twist early in verse 11 when he talks about the direction in which Jesus is going. He's telling us that Jesus is going through a racially mixed area. That this is a place where there are Jews, but there are other people. And of course, at the end of this narrative, there's going to be a twist as to who comes back praising God. We just sort of assume by the language Jesus uses that the other nine were probably Jewish. And you would think that in their being Jewish and in their devotion to God, that they would be the ones to return praising God. But not so. It's this Samaritan, it's this outsider, it's this Gentile who comes back with praise and thanksgiving. And that's good news for us in this room today, because I venture to say probably none of us are Jewish or truly Jewish. We might have some Jewish lineage here or there, but we are by and large Gentile. And it's good news for us that we have this blessed hope and the promises of God that we can stand on. These are just as much for us as they are for anyone. And I think that's important that we remember. So the Gentile writer is preparing us for this twist at the end. Bear that in mind. I think if we were going to say anything of all 10 of the lepers, one thing that we can credit them with is this. This is a narrative of faith in action. Faith in action. Because what does Jesus say to the 10? He says, go show yourself to the priest. Now understand, in that time, in that era, the only one who could really pronounce you clean would be the priest, and they would have to examine you. It also makes us think that the importance that the other nine put on going to see the priest, they were probably Jewish. They were probably very interested in being pronounced clean so that they could re-enter society. Leprosy in that day and age was really a death sentence for those who had it, because you had to stay outside the city. You couldn't socialize. You could socialize with other lepers, of course, but with no one else. And if anyone who didn't have leprosy was approaching, you'd have to yell out, unclean, so they would know not to get too terribly close to you. So this, I think, is a wonderful narrative of faith in action, because if these lepers had have used their politeness over their sense, they would have politely said to Jesus, hey, Jesus, listen, there's no reason for us to go present ourselves to the priest. Can't you see we're still lepers? No, they cry out to Jesus for mercy. I don't even know that they're thinking at this point if Jesus will heal them or not. Mercy could imply anything, food, money, whatever. But Jesus says to them, go present yourself. And they do just that. They get up and go. And if you look at the original Greek, the Greek suggests just what our English says, that as they go, healing happens. Now, the scripture doesn't exactly say when they recognized that they were healed, but what scripture does say is that when one, that Samaritan, the Gentile, realized that he was healed, what does he do? He about faces. He goes back to Jesus. He falls down at Jesus' feet, humbles himself with praise to God. Think about that. Think about the beauty of that picture. How long this man has had to cry out, in humility unclean, and now he's clean. He recognizes it, and he recognizes the source. I wonder, something for us to consider this morning, a query for us to think about. How many times do we return to God to thank him for the things in which we've asked him? Another thing I think for us to think this morning is this. How many times has God laid something on our heart and we've prayed about it, expecting God to just drop it in our lap, not putting feet to faith? We have to remember that 2 Corinthians 1:20 tells us that the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. So if God has asked you to do something, obviously it aligns with his word and his will. Pray about it, absolutely. I'm not saying don't. But here's the thing. Put feet to faith. Go forward in whatever he has asked you to do. You do what you can in the possible, and let God add the impossible. And that's what happens here in this account. The people are able to walk toward the priest, maybe even run toward the priest. I just sort of imagine them running in excitement. That's my own imagination coming to the word of God. See them going with expectancy, and God doing the impossible in their life, healing them of leprosy. So I think one thing we can credit all 10 of the lepers for doing, and doing well, is giving feet to faith, just trusting that they were going to have healing when they arrived where Jesus had told them to go. But then this narrative is also a narrative of genuine thanksgiving, because we have one, a Samaritan, who's not even a Jew, not even in the Jewish mind, not even a part of the family of God, returning to God to give thanks for this great blessing. I mean, he has life again. He is able to work again. He's able to mix in society, be with his friends, with his family, freely once again. I mean, this is like finding life brand new. The same thing that Jesus does for each one of us when we come to Christ in the free pardon of sin. He gives us spiritual life brand new, and we have this newness of life. Do we thank him for that? Do we thank him for that spiritual rebirth? Do we return to God, or do we just take it for granted? My encouragement to you is, don't take it for granted. Thank God, praise God every day. You know, don't worry about politeness. Don't worry about manners. Cry out to God in your way, in your creative way of expressing thanks and praise to God. And do just that and be faithful with that. Let the day start with thanks and praise to God, and see what God does in your life throughout the day. So we have this Gentile who returns to give not just thanksgiving, but genuine thanksgiving to God for what God has done in his life. We look at our main text, verse 15. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. That's verses 15 and 16. I want you to notice, though, in verse 15, it says, in a loud voice. He wasn't being polite. He wasn't thinking about social norms. He was just thinking about what God had done for him. And he comes back to praise God with all the fervor that is within him. How many times do we thank God with all the fervor that is within us? It can look quiet, absolutely. There have been times in my life where I've been in silence, but what was welling up within me was just so exciting. I don't think you could ever find it at any sports game or anything else, you know? And I know that God sees that and hears that and senses that, because we're connected spiritually. You know, but my encouragement to you is, let that well up within you, whether it is external or whether it is internal. Let it well up within you. Let God know how thankful you are for his presence. My query, my thought here is this: is my thanksgiving as loud as my many requests? I think about the 10 lepers had to loudly ask Jesus for mercy. Nine went their own way to have themselves pronounced clean. One came back, I believe, just as loudly, because Scripture says he came in a loud voice, just as loudly as he'd asked for mercy. That's the same level, I believe, of loudness. He maybe even louder, praising God for what God had done in his life. Is my thanksgiving as loud as my many requests to God Almighty? And finally, for me, at least in my devotion time, because I came up with a bunch of things and had to whittle it down to three. But the third thing is this. This is a narrative of the significance of genuine thanksgiving, of genuine gratitude in our lives. I want you to think about it. Were all 10 healed? Absolutely. If you look at the words of Jesus and what Jesus is saying, we're not 10 cleansed. So to me, that implies that yes, everyone was healed. But were they all healed in the same way? At the end, when this one, who's not even a Jew, who's a Gentile, comes back to Jesus, Jesus says something a little different to him. In the end, he says, "Get up. Your faith has made you whole," or well, depending on the translation in which you read. But if you go back and you look at the Greek, you understand the Greek word used there is sozo, which is the same for salvation. So it's the same word that describes Jesus in Matthew 1:21 when Matthew records, "And she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save," sozo, "he shall save his people from their sins." So yes, I think this one leper received a little something more than the others did. One, he receives a more deeper, intimate connection with God. He's the one who returned to thank God. How we need to practice that ourselves in our own lives, returning to thank God for the mighty things that he has done in our life. If you think, "Well, I don't have anything to thank God for," I hope no one here thinks that. But if you do, is there breath in your body? Is there life in you? Then you have something to thank God for. That didn't happen because you're you. That happened because God has blessed you. Thank him. Praise him for every blessing. Breath, life, the fact that we can be one with another and worship him this morning. There are those who would just hunger for the ability to come together in the open and meet together and worship God. Thank him for that. Thank him for the many things that he has done in your life. But with this one leper, I believe the healing took a little deeper root. It wasn't just an external healing like the other nine. I believe what Jesus is saying to him is, "Your faith in me, your faith in God has made you whole. You have found salvation. You've been spiritually reborn. Something new is happening in you." And my prayer for each one of us in this room this morning is this: we know we can identify with that leper because something new has happened in our lives. We have known that salvation that only Jesus gives. We've accepted it and we're living in it daily. And here's my challenge to you: if you are indeed living in that salvation, thank God. Thank him loudly. Return, because he's done for you in Christ Jesus what you could not do for yourself. And if you've never accepted that free pardon of sin, then my encouragement to you is right where you are. Ask Jesus, "Jesus, forgive me. Save me. I want to know you." And I truly believe if you pray that sincerely, he saves you. And thank him for that salvation. And talk with Mark or myself or Arlen or Chip, one of our elders. Talk with someone about the decision you've made, because we want to partner alongside you and disciple you so that you can grow your roots deeper in Christ Jesus. So understand, for this one leper, thanksgiving made the difference. It's the same for us. Thanksgiving makes the difference.
I hope you'll join us again for Friendly Connection, so we can explore God's Word together. Blessings.